little faster, runs another stop sign, happy ever after. Once she lets her guard down, laughing at the stupid things I say. Moonlight underneath the window, reflecting in the teardrops falling on the pillow. And she asks me, have you ever been so happy that it makes you want to cry? Have you ever been so happy that it makes you want to cry? Listen up, there's something I should tell you. I was not always like this. I used to be so miserable with every boy who touched me or ever tried to fuck me. I used to be so frantic at home alone on weekends, television by myself, waiting for the phone, feeling ugly. Have you ever been so lonely that it makes you wanna die? Have you ever been so lonely that it makes you wanna die?
This episode brought to you by Fiji Water.
No, no, it's not.
Tap into the Polynesians.
Yeah, you like a little bit of dirt mixed with your water? Mm. We got it. Fiji.
How do you still drink Fiji when you were part of the blind water test?
First of all, I still agree that
you like tap water more.
I still agree with the three of us in our unanimous vote that it's the greatest water ever produced by man. Mm-hmm. I did find a new water at Whole Foods yesterday that's on the bottle. It states age 10,000 years.
That doesn't sound
preposterous.
Good.
Yeah, I know. I want
is
fresh
it musty?
New water.
Well, if it... That's a cool sound.
That's a nice sound.
I don't
know if
anyone heard
it on the microphone, but that was cool.
That would be a good ringtone. We should market that.
If that water smells like Pirates of the Caribbean, I'm in.
What if just the cap smells like that, so you could drink fresh water, but so get that sweet Pirates of the Caribbean?
10,000 years. I mean...
I know.
Earth is only 6,000 years old, so how could it be 10,000?
Yeah, yeah.
It's absurd.
BC, BD, what's the other one? BC, AD?
AD.
But they don't call it that anymore.
Do you know there's a measuring system
BC
for...
BC is now BCE, before the Common Era, because before Christ was too...
Before Christ
also,
ejaculated.
But there's also... Did you know there's one in Scientology, too?
It's not it.
And there truly is, and they refer to BS and AS.
Before Fiji
no,
and after
BD,
Fiji.
AD, Dianetics. What was that?
Oh, sorry.
Selfish
sorry.
Selfish
sorry.
Thing. Jesus.
I didn't.
Anderson just sat back and slid all the equipment towards him.
All the equipment. I pulled the recorder a little bit closer to me. And my
headphones were attached to it. Yeah, you reeled me in.
All right, you can lean back. I'm sorry.
The ultimate headphones will be.
Actually, I can't lean back.
Some sort of micro.
Why don't you move the chair up a little there?
Micro robotic headphone device that crawled into your ear and attached itself to your eardrum would probably be.
Hey.
Something
welcome
of the future.
To the After That Stare. I'm Anderson.
All
there's
water talk.
Mike Carano to my left. There's
Special
Ty
edition.
Ty directly across from me and now not using headphones. We come to you live on tape from my backyard, also
my
known
backyard.
As the set of Cult of Carano.
My backyard.
We are
this
next
is
to
my
baby pool.
Backyard.
There is a wind chime above me and there is wind in the air.
But it's not chiming.
Leaves.
I pulled the wood thing down so it doesn't upset
the
people.
The
because this is where I do my chats with
our
Andy.
Nature's
I like the chime, though.
Chimes.
Right here, I do
chimes.
A chats with Andy right where I'm sitting. And they've been going swimmingly. Talked to a guy from Japan yesterday for over an hour.
Because you do it in the pool right here?
I don't do it in the pool.
Did he call from Japan?
I called him to Japan via Skype.
Was there a charge incurred?
It was via Skype.
Yeah. Nice.
So I think we're good.
Konnichiwa.
Chats with Andy are still. I'm pretty.
Is that Japanese?
I'm pretty booked for the next week.
Well,
but,
you know, it's been a long time since I fluently spoke Japanese.
If you'd like to do a chat with Andy, every single one has been really good.
Do I get a discount if I do a chat with Andy?
I haven't had one where it's like, this guy's not talking or she's not saying anything. Every conversation has been shockingly really smooth and great. So, yeah. It's
shocking.
Been enjoyable. Nice.
Shockingly,
it's
that's
shocking because you, if you don't know
insulting.
Somebody, if you don't know someone at all, you know. Like
I agree.
Jillian thinks it's remarkable that I'm doing these because she can't imagine any.
Does
my,
it feel
Jillian,
like
my
video
wife.
Dating?
Yeah, it's
a little like speed
no
dating.
Yeah.
A little like speed dating.
You should for an extra $10. You should be extra flirty.
I mean, I'll do phone sex if that's what you're into.
For 60, yeah. He'll do it shirt off.
I usually do it shirt off, and then like sometimes I'll do the
FaceTime. Do you tell them?
FaceTime call by mistake at first, and I see like a little glimpse of myself. I'm like, oh God. And I push hang up real quick.
For the listeners at home.
You know what you look like with your hair
right
slicked
now.
Back like that?
The sex man is shirtless right now.
You look
Chi-chi's
like you
out.
Could be in Social Distortion right now.
They're all very old, Mike.
Yep, his point stands.
What a dick.
Oh, Lord.
What a dick.
Something happened to the baby monitor, like a warning came up across the top.
Yeah, it's telling me that it's too hot in his room. 86 degrees, apparently it's too hot for an infant.
It's pretty hot.
That's
okay.
Pretty fancy pants machine there, then.
It's a piece of shit machine.
What if it says, like, I detect a fart, baby fart?
Why would it say that?
I don't know. It gives you all the information. You're like, oh, I missed one of his cute little farts.
Oh, my God. No. Stop it. What? We're not that fucking show.
Baby right, farts.
Back to the Fiji.
No, I have a self-contained air conditioning unit pointed right at his crib. So it says 86, but it's probably more
is
like.
Is it on?
Yeah.
More like 84 in the crib.
You want to hear it?
You know what? You know what's interesting about the water? Like for some reason,
you hear that?
Oh yeah, that's soothing for
that's
him.
That's AC.
Right.
It's
next
actually
to it.
For those who can't see it. It's
like
a blow dryer.
Wind tunnel.
There's a big block of ice
block
in front of it.
Yep.
That's what they used to do back in the old timey days. They get ice, they put it in a bowl, and
in
they put
theaters,
a fan on.
Theaters did that.
Yeah.
They had big vats.
That's
for
what they were
ice, and they would fill them with ice, and they would blow fans over it.
Did you know that's where ices came from? They use the leftover runoff slush.
I didn't
not
know
true
that
at all.
I didn't know that.
100% true.
But did you know Slurpees were invented by the Icy Company?
Yes.
All right. Not this conversation again. We're not doing this again.
You want to?
Because it wasn't good the first time.
You know
really.
What's bittersweet?
I like an Icy shirt. That's a cool
Icy
with the bear on it. With
the polar
bear.
The bear's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I bet if you
on.
Save up enough proofs of purchase and send them off to the company, you'll get one.
Or you
remember that was
probably
a thing back in the 70s.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Cut off the proof of purchase of this Honey Nut Cheerios, and
what
we'll send you.
What a.
It was always like send us
10
box
scam.
Tops and also like $8.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's because the thing costs $4 and you're making
it
in money.
And then
plus I bought a bunch of
free advertisement for you.
14 boxes of Frosted Flakes. We'll send you a Tony the Tiger. Pin.
This is what people don't know about the show is we expose
the falsehoods and
yeah,
the
big
abnormalities
business.
Of the advertising
big cereal
yeah.
for
big
scam
cereal,
artists
big
that they
tire
are.
Big water. Okay, back to the Fiji water.
Oh,
so
yes,
so the trend, as it always is
that.
With wine as well, is older is better. Now the wine one makes sense because it changes.
Maybe the
as
water
it ages.
Changes.
The water saying it's 10,000 years old doesn't really
6,000.
Like if somebody told me we caught fresh rainwater in the mountains in a spotless stainless steel vat.
To clarify, people don't think I'm a young.
You're a
earther,
creationist,
and then
you're
filtered
a young
it.
What?
You're a creationist now.
Tyler's always
yeah. I'm
been
only
a creationist.
The creation.
Like, he believes that God came down here about 6,000 years
like,
ago.
He planted the dinosaurs to
let me get some fish over
there.
Let me get some giant bones in this ground right here.
I need another giant bone over here.
And watch this trick. I'm going back in time 4,000 years to collect this water for this company.
Going back in time.
Just put this skull over here. No other parts of the dinosaur.
As you guys know, I'm not a religious person.
What? Oh.
But if I happened to walk into a store and saw a bottle of water and it said, blessed by a priest and blessed by a rabbi, I would be inclined to go, I'm just going to play it safe and get that water.
What?
What if you had to choose one or the other?
Yeah. Monk water.
I got to go Jew
monk water,
side.
Buddhist monk water.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic monk water.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Muhammad water.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I'd probably go Muhammad water because the Muslim delis or meat places, whatever they're called,
halal,
are the best by far. By far.
Oh, also a Jewish water.
What's it called where they cut Rabbi meat up water. With like a saw and stuff?
Kebabs.
Oh, yeah.
Shishk.
What is that called?
Shmarma.
Butcher.
Shmarma.
Muslim butchers.
You're going for butcher?
Muslim.
Yeah, I'll
Muslim,
tell you something about these Muslim butchers.
Muslim butchers are the best. They're the cleanest. they're the best.
It sounds like you're pro ISIS right now.
It really
does.
No, I'm talking
Muslim butchers. Kick ass.
Butchers. They're the best.
Mm-hmm.
You've never bought
Did
meat from a
Muslim
butcher.
You just put an accent on it? Butchers?
Butcher.
I don't know if I've ever gone because I don't.
You what?
I don't even know where any are. Do I?
Wow. Expand, get out of your bubble.
I know where a bunch of Armenian ones are. There's a bunch of Armenian delis around here and Jewish delis,
I don't
obviously.
Know if those are Muslim, though.
Do they sell goat there?
Do you find it obnoxious?
I don't know.
Goat
I don't know.
The most eaten protein in the world. You know
I know when the Carano family wants to treat ourselves for some sort of barbecue event, my brother will go to the Muslim butcher or my dad will go there. And it's twice as expensive as regular meat, but it's the.
Ever do a blind taste test?
I put
like
a,
you did with the Fiji water?
I put one of those. I forgot what it's called.
Remember
what's
you
that
liked,
thing the women
you
wear?
You liked pool water?
Hijab.
Yeah, I put a hijab on, but I pull it down over my eyes.
Remember the blind taste test with Diana Van Cape?
Yeah, but I, you know,
you
like
pool water
and
toilet water more than
Fiji
water?
I think I soiled my taste buds
Take
with,
this hijab
with alcohol
and shove
that night.
Oh, because that was the night that you admitted that you were an alcoholic.
No. Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was trying to do the taste test to get your mind off it.
Ironically, not the, yeah, that your alcoholism thing was not the biggest thing of that night. It was the water taste
and the Russian hat that he was wearing, remember?
The
Russian fur hat.
That kind of gave it away. We were like, oh, yeah, he does have a problem.
He does obviously have a problem wearing that hat.
The bartender.
He won't be wearing that hat next week.
The bartender at the Improv was so furious with me for ordering only Grey Goose every single night. Like, apple martini, Grey Goose, please. And he's like, you can't tell the difference. So I went, yes, I absolutely can tell the difference. And so he poured a bunch of different vodkas and shot glasses, and I drank them all, and I couldn't tell the difference at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I still maintain that I can tell the difference between Grey Goose and shit house vodka.
Only one way to find out.
It's because you have a 50% chance.
Well, I'm not even playing the odds. I'm saying I think I can tell the difference. And I'll tell you why, because I'm not a vodka guy, but when somebody gave me a bottle of vodka as a thank you for something I did for them once, I drank it straight out of the bottle. And it was delicious, and I never had vodka that was that good. Never had vodka that was that good.
Polish?
That was my trunk drink of choice for years.
Trunk
drink? I had a Fiji bottle. You know what my schedule was?
I remember.
At the Improv every other day, and I'd fill one of these bottles to the rim with Grey Goose, and I'd leave it in the trunk. Emergency. In case of an emergency.
Emergency like getting gas.
I had the trunk open on the Civic. On the gas station on Brea Boulevard near where I lived, and a cop was right next to me, and I popped the trunk, pulled out the Fiji bottle, took a swig while making eye contact, and I was so proud of that. So proud of that. How pathetic.
Some fucking guy staring at me while drinking Fiji
warm,
water.
Hot water out of the...
And then he stumbles
the Fiji
water's to his car.
Price. You can't even tell the difference.
Out of the trunk. You know what makes that vodka really good is it still has remnants of the Fiji water in there that really gives it
the Fiji
little,
water
little
adds, has. My, my distinctive... sophisticated palate.
Speaking of the chats with Andy and the Improv.
Jesus.
No. Yeah. This is good. Listener who I had a chat with Andy with. First of all, it's going to scare you a little bit.
I don't know if I like them being called chats with Andy since I know you as Anderson.
Yeah, I know, but it's more personal.
So you
know?
Catch your name.
The wife calls me Andy. So Jeff Morgan.
Coming soon, chats with Michael.
Jeff Morgan, maybe the smartest person I've talked to in the last few months.
Yeah.
Very smart man.
Right in front of you.
He's getting his doctorate in biology at MIT.
Yeah, everyone can do that.
Listens to the program religiously.
Then he's not the smart person.
Does he have a pod? Yeah, exactly.
It's always weird when really smart people are really...
some sort of flaw.
But
we are his drunk vodka.
I talked to one guy who works in news, and
I'm in the news. See,
pretty much like a producer of news programs.
I got a scoop for you.
Stop the presses.
And I'm like, how can you listen to our show when it's all over the fucking place? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it's kind
of
free.
And
I kind
of
like
no
that.
Facts.
Yeah, but
and
Jeff Morgan,
no political affiliations whatsoever.
MIT Jeff Morgan. He did have one request for me.
One request: don't use my full name and tell people where I go to school.
Yeah. He asked me.
Unless you call it baseball MIT.
He said I could
T
totally use his name and use Mitt. Okay. But Francis Crick was brought up on the program, and we just steamrolled right over it because we didn't know what we were talking.
The creator of cricket.
He wanted some more information on Francis Crick,
the sport cricket,
and how he showed up at the improv. Mike,
can you
help
us out?
He was
friends
here?
With.
Wait, first
a poet.
Of all, tell who Francis Crick is.
Watson and Crick invented or discovered RNA DNA right on the heels. I mean, right post. Okay, they invented. They discovered the double helix. Now, Linus Pauling would have probably discovered it if there was only a few months to go.
What?
Linus Pauling, who famously wrote a book called Vitamin C and claimed that vitamin C can cure everything, which is part of the reason why to this day, including this very morning, I take high doses
what
of vitamin C.
What podcast were you listening to?
It wasn't a podcast. It was a long, long time ago. I saw Linus Pauling on the Phil Donahue Show, and I became fascinated with him, and I bought his book.
I'm blown away right now. Mike is completely off script.
Years
off the top of his head.
Years later,
he might as well be walking back and forth in a large, large
symposium.
Classroom. Yeah, from one of those 12-foot chalkboards
that
you can't get to.
That rolls side to side. Years later, I wanted to book different types of show with the improv because I got to do anything I wanted back in the good old days with the club. I got to do rock shows. I got to do concerts. Got to do anything I fucking wanted. The owner was completely open to me losing money, just trying something new.
What happened to that owner?
He killed himself.
Did he really?
Yeah, recent, like 4 years ago. But
yikes!
Sorry. He gave me a lot of opportunities that nobody else would have given me in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we had a very tumultuous relationship, including not speaking for my last year of employment at the time, before I left for Dennis Miller. Point is, Monday nights were my freedom nights. And I got to book anything I wanted. Now, normally, I booked my favorite comics. It was the same six or seven people. It was Todd Glass, Dana Gould, sometimes Dennis Miller, sometimes Gary Shandling, Judd, Rob Schneider, Adam Sandler, Spade a lot. But back in the day, Schneider was fucking hilarious. But the audience just stared at him. Drake Sather, I booked all my favorite people who are still my favorite comics to this day. But I also threw in obscure, weird shows. Here's the point I'm getting to right now. The first one was Jim Carroll, the poet from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated by him, and I also wanted to hang out with him, which I got to do on many occasions because of the bookings. And then the second time, he brought Lenny Kaye, and that was a fun night because all of Pearl Jam came to the show, and that was at the peak of their fame, the peak. And we were like a third full, and I got to hang out with Eddie Vedder and Jim Carroll and Lenny Kaye and Cindy Lee Barry Hill and all these people after till like 5 in the morning. It was a pretty fascinating night.
Like, can we go home now? You're like,
And then I, and because of that, the same agent also handled Tiny Tim. So I would book Tiny Tim to come to the club, and that resulted in the little short film I made with Tiny Tim and hanging out with Tiny Tim, becoming friends with him and getting calls from him.
Part of our theme song.
Later on. But the other person he managed, who I booked several times, was Ray Manzarek. I think he's the bass player from the Kinks. So Manzarek would come down.
Ray Manzarek was in the Doors.
I know. But Manzarek would come down and play the piano.
It was a fun little joke. He was trying out some new material.
But he would bring Michael McClure, a very famous poet and intellectual type guy, who I always thought was just really, really nice to
who
me.
Who is this?
Michael McClure. Turns out he was gay. I didn't know that till like
Ooh,
5 years ago.
Mike
I was like, Michael McClure fucking loved me. He was always talk to me and call me. And
could have been Mike and Mike.
But Michael McClure wrote that song Mercedes-Benz that Janis Joplin recorded, but he was also a famous poet.
And what is happening?
Yeah. Here's the point.
I asked about
Michael
Francis
McClure
Crick.
was
it
a very
Pandora's box.
Michael
evidently.
McClure was a very interesting person who had a lot of interesting friends.
Lord Will and the Crick.
One of them
rise.
Being Francis Crick. And so during the Manzarek McClure show, he's like, Francis Crick is coming to the show. And he was like in his 80s. And I was completely starstruck and excited.
And you knew who Francis Crick was?
Yes, I did. Watson and Crick sure did.
They did a show or they were just in the crowd?
They did a show. They were like Martin and Lewis. They just talked about math and bio. Like.
And did the audience receive that better than Rob Schneider?
He didn't show up. He wasn't feeling well.
The audience wasn't feeling well?
What?
I asked if the audience.
Who didn't show up?
Francis.
Francis didn't even show up.
Mm-mm.
I thought you just said that he talked about math on the stage.
I was making that up. That's a joke, too.
Oh, my God. What's happening? How many jokes were there just now?
17. Was that all like a weird stream consciousness lie?
No, but no, the audience.
Wait, so Francis Crick never showed up.
The audience was a little, they knew what they were getting in for. And it was Ray Manzarek playing Doors songs while Michael McClure reads poetry over it. It was very weird, yet strangely
sounds very 70s.
Mesmerizing. And then all of a sudden there's a break in the show. And Ray Manzarek just launches into the most famous Doors song, the one that starts with piano. I forgot what it is.
Light My Fire.
It's beautiful.
Riders on the Storm.
It might be Riders on the Storm, but the audience goes berserk because they're like, "Oh, we totally recognize this one."
Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Shut up! Stop your poetry! I'm trying to hear the jam." Fantastic.
A lot of them start with keywords because they didn't have a bassist.
Yeah, good point.
Hey,
it's just 10 seconds of blank before every song. This is where the bass player, if we had one, would be leading us into the tune.
That was like a 7-minute diatribe, not about Francis Crick though. What
it was leading up to.
He didn't
Your story
up.
Was he didn't come to a place.
Yeah, no, this story doesn't
him?
Have a big payoff.
How did you bring him up on the program before that he was supposed to come? Like that
yeah.
was
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was very, very, very excited. More
sorry,
excited,
Jeff. Sorry,
more
there wasn't
excited
more of a
than
payoff.
When I was introduced
sorry,
to Buzz
Jeff?
Aldrin at the Improv.
You're sorry to Jeff.
Yeah,
and
not everyone
and,
else
and the listeners
and us. Apologize to me.
I like how Mike knows certain things very well. I've always liked that. It's enjoyable to hear.
But it's fun meeting those obscure people in history like
but you didn't.
Like Buzz. No, I'm saying the potential like that he was going to come to the Improv, I was very fucking I was
just the potential of yeah. Francis Crick showing yeah. up was exciting and worthy yeah. of talking.
There's certain people that you really like that inspired you or something in some way, and when you meet them you get overly excited. Like for me, Martha Stewart. Like, and the time I walked outside of the Improv and Chrissy Hynde was sitting on the patio in on a chair, and I fucking freaked out. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's Chrissy Hynde. And Miranda at the time, the girlfriend at the time, was like, go say hi to her. I'm like, I can't. I fucking can't.
Where was this?
Yeah, 8 years ago.
Where?
In front of the Improv.
Hollywood?
Yeah, she had a stool. She had a chair. She pulled a chair off the patio and was sitting in it waiting for someone.
Like,
and she was out there for a good half an hour. And I was just like starstruck.
Just lurking?
Yeah.
Staring out of the corner of your eye?
No, I looked out the front.
She's Curb Your Enthusiasm, right?
Yeah. She's the wife.
Yeah. Well, ex-wife now.
Yeah. That's funny because Larry David came up last night in conversation because we were all sharing.
Because he was on Howard Stern all day yesterday.
Oh. Well, I was sharing somebody was telling me a Larry David story, and I told them my Larry David story. Andy Kindler was the person I was speaking with last night because something happened with Larry David recently. Oh, I guess it was the Stern thing. I didn't know he was on Stern, though.
I think it was an old recording that they played, but like on Stern Station yesterday, all day, every time I tune in, it would be the Larry David interview.
I've been seeing Jeff Garlin, who's the executive producer of that show, a lot lately.
He's also on the show?
And yeah, that too. But I felt stupid when I'm like, when do you guys start shooting this new season? He goes, we wrapped like a month ago. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm on top of it. Hollywood Report live.
It hasn't been released.
Breaking scoop news.
Well, I know Larry's just about to wrap up his live stage play.
Oh, yeah?
Mid-July. Learned that from listening to Stern. But he was talking about how he had 6 months ahead of him, so I'm assuming that was an old interview because he was talking about how it was going to end mid-July. All right.
I think he's done with it because that might have been the intro into the conversation last night.
All right, let's get off that. Let's get off.
It's a horrible way to start a gangbang.
Everybody.
All right, let's start your engines. Let's get off.
Do you like how Anderson has ripped his shirt on purpose to expose his shoulder tattoo?
Yeah, okay, no
like
one can see that. It's
that's
visual.
His Hulk costume.
And no, I have tattoos on both shoulders.
What?
I almost forgot about something really fucking cool. I could have easily gone through this entire episode without talking to you guys about. I did one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life.
A major misdirect.
Since I last saw you.
What?
Redirect.
I should just show you a picture and get reactions.
Handstand on a skateboard?
You had an Atticus
that
tattoo?
Cool? Handstand on a skateboard is not what I did. Here, let me pull up a pic.
Well,
let me pull
it's
up
not
a pic.
Be as cool as that.
Let me pull up a pic. And then I have stories that go with it, as you'd imagine. Hold on. And I have Bob Forrest to thank for it. What is that?
Whoa.
Would you look at that?
No way.
Yeah.
The Lombardi trophy.
No way.
Not the Lombardi.
Heisman.
So, as not many people probably know or realize, but there's a man named Ron Burkle who lives in this world. If you live out here on the West Coast, you're familiar with Ralph's Supermarkets. He owns all of those, as well as many other things.
Holy shit.
This man owns a lot of things. He has a lot of money. He's a billionaire. He also owns a little hockey team called the Pittsburgh Penguins. He and Mario Lemieux are the owners of the Pittsburgh Penguins. The guy who owns Ralph's owns the Penguins? Yep. And
that's why Amazon exclusively shops at Albertsons.
No wonder you hate it when I go to Whole Foods.
Before every playoff game, I go to Ralph's and get myself a little treat for the game. It's a ritual that I've been doing for the last number of years.
Symbiotic.
Because
it's payback. Little payback.
Ron Burkle, right?
Yep.
Turns out, I learned this years ago, that Bob Forrest, friend of mine, you probably know him from like Celebrity Rehab and Drew's various shows. He actually does a show with Drew. Bob Forrest, one of the great guys. I think you guys can attest to
that. I know him.
Very nice man.
I know
one of the great guys. He knows I'm a giant Penguin fan. So
we've become friends over the past few years.
Bob is very close with Ron Burkle. Ron Burkle and him, I'm still not quite clear. Bob's answer was, I said, how did you get to be so close with Ron Burkle? He said, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't know what that means, Bob, still. But point is, Ron...
Was that addressing Bob, assuming that he listens to the show?
He does listen. So Ron gave him his championship Stanley Cup ring from the 2009 Stanley Cup Penguins victory.
Go.
Yeah, so...
He gave me one, too. What the fuck?
Bob brought that into to Loveline a number of years ago, and I wore it through the entire episode, through the entire show. Mm-hmm. I was taking pictures. It was just great. Like wearing actual Ron Burkle's ring.
Now I'm understanding why your shoulder tattoos reminded you of this.
I get it. The rip shirt.
Now I get it.
So Bob is in Nashville for the Stanley Cup, right? He's actually on. He flew over there with the team and with Burkle. He's that close. He's sending me pictures and texting me during the game. He's sending me pictures after the game is over, after they win the Stanley Cup in Nashville. He's on the ice. I see him on TV, and he's taking pictures of things that I'm watching on TV, and he's sending me the text in real time. It was fucking surreal. It was great. It was awesome. It was such a happy coincidence that he just happens to be, you know, it could have been any billionaire that owned anything. But so he actually gave me a cookie from last year's Ron Burkle Stanley Cup party, and it was in the shape of a penguin. I've had that cookie in my fridge for the entire year since last year.
Did you eat it?
And I sent him a picture, and I said, if they win tonight, I'm going to eat this. And he said, if they win tonight, I'm going to bring you to Ron Burkle's party this year, which he did.
Whoa.
And I went on Saturday, and I was like a little boy in a candy shop. Now, it was just Ron Burkle. The players weren't there. But
so did you get to hang out with Burkle?
Not really, because he was talking to somebody who looked like the Dalai Lama most of the time.
Was it probably the Dalai Lama? Because the Dalai Lama was in town.
It might have been the Dalai Lama.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this, that you may have been at a party with a Dalai Lama and not known it was a Dalai Lama or talked to him. Or is that cool or horrible?
Do you think it's cool to ask for a selfie with the Dalai Lama?
Well, okay, it's
totally cool.
It was July 1st, and I know I'm probably boring
Dolly
people
Parton
who don't
and the Dalai Lama in one picture
care about hockey.
See who gets that.
But it was July 1st, which is a big day in the hockey world because it's free agency day. It's a day that free agents start moving around.
So you were looking for like,
so I'm on
tips.
I'm on the you know, I'm standing there with a cup. And it's like I've seen the cup before, but you usually have to wait in long lines. My buddy Damien, it was in San Diego the day before. He had to wait in line for 2 hours, and then you just get a quick picture.
Wait, he had to wait in line at someone's house?
No. Is that one of the players is from San Diego, and he brought it down to a rink down there.
Got it.
So I it was not lost on me how unique of a situation it was that I got to hang out. I did a selfie video where I went up and I kissed the cup.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I did everything but hold it up.
Well, what if you get some weird infection?
You're not supposed to hold the cup up. Ever, if you're not
everything but
hugged it.
I'm aware of that.
Rubbed your wiener on it.
Did not rub the dick.
Did you drink out of it?
Then
did not drink out of it. All right, there's plenty of things I didn't do, but I did a lot of stuff with it. All right, I got to spend time. I took pictures of all the placards.
Did you spend the whole party just lingering around the cup
for the most part? Yeah.
I feel like that guy's gonna steal that thing
for the most part. But
were the
security guys there?
There's
security
guards.
There's the guy, right?
The guy wasn't there.
What?
Somebody else. Yeah. So I immediately am introduced to Ron Burkle by Bob right after we get there, because we got there early. Bob picked me up with his wife and his two kids, and I sat in the back, and it was really fun. And Bob's really down to earth, you know, and he drives a Jeep Wrangler. We pull up to this. I've never been in a house like this other than the Playboy Mansion. That's the closest thing I can think of that I've ever been to that's like this ridiculous amount of wealth.
Yeah.
So we pull up in Bob's car. We get out, and there's like 15 valets.
Yeah.
And it's like every single one of those people is getting paid right now. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. There's like six people, you know, showing us which way to go. The driveway is the size of my backyard, and it's like one of those ridiculous commercials you see of rich people. It's like the idea of what rich people are. Every car that's great that's out today is parked backwards in this driveway.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got like two Rolls Royces, Tesla, Ferrari.
And they all have Ralph's bumper stickers.
They're all perfect. And
I'd rather be shopping at Ralph's.
Bob says this is the best part of for me, other than the Stanley Cup. This is the best part of the story for me. Bob says, you know, this is Harold Lloyd's old house, which is fucking huge. He was.
Why do I know that name?
He was a silent film actor. Charlie Chaplin.
Okay.
Eclipses him, but he's up there with the big.
You mean like he stood in front of him with a bright light behind him?
Yeah, he eclipsed him.
Okay.
You know, he's right Got there, it. Like Buster Keaton, Harold. Yep. Lloyd and Charlie Chaplin. And this
Buster
house
Keaton, I barely
is
knew her.
Phenomenal. And Bob says, I used to come up here back in my using days, because Bob's a legendary drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to like party in this house when it was abandoned, because Harold Lloyd, after he died, like the house was a creepy abandoned
what
house.
What an
that
amazing
about.
Full circle story.
I know. Isn't that
crazy? Honestly, that's insane.
Yep.
So it's Harold Lloyd's house. I'll show you some more pictures of his old house. Some more pictures, because when Ron bought the house, he refurbished everything. It was built in 1918.
Of course. He's got to put sound in.
He refurbished it to make it identical to the way it was in many ways. Harold Lloyd had a garden and a little playground made for his children in the backyard, mm-hmm. complete with carousel, mm-hmm. and a mini house that is a mini house, and it's fully functioning. You walk in, you got a bend to walk in, get inside of it, fully functioning kitchen with a sink and a little easy bake
oven.
Make
a mini dinner in there.
It's like a perfect house for a little person to live in. It was just a phenomenal.
Except for that would be almost considered blasphemy. That would be weird.
They had a full-size.
Where do I stay, boss?
Soccer
you
field.
You know where you're staying.
Full-size soccer field on what? The premises. Full-size.
Like, does he like soccer that
where's
much?
Where's the house?
Beverly Hills, right off of Beverly Glen. Benedict wow. Canyon. It's right by where the Tate House was.
Yeah.
Some but of those.
It was so much fun.
I.
How long were you there?
Like two and a half hours.
Nice.
Probably.
What a great.
I wanted to go tell Ron that you know, so players were changing.
I ate your cookie.
Yeah.
Players were changing.
I ate your old cookie.
Bob introduces me to him.
I stole a croissant from Ralph's.
He says, "Show him your tattoo." I showed my tattoo.
Hence,
and it was
why
like,
the story came up.
Yeah,
you
I
have
showed
a
him
tattoo
my penguin tattoo, and he goes, "Oh, that's pretty cool."
Did he ask for your contact info?
I asked him about Harold. No, I asked him about Harold Lloyd a little bit, and he told me a little bit about the house, and then the Dalai Lama came along. So,
what if it was the Dalai Lama?
Was.
If he was in town, it might have been.
He is in California, I believe. Yeah.
He couldn't care. I was noticing the number of people coming that didn't even glance at the cup, though. That kind of bothered me. It's like the whole point of the party is the cup. It's right there.
Yeah, no shit.
Was this just one day with the cup, or did the owners get it for like a couple more days?
I don't know. It was a 4th of July weekend, so maybe he had it for the whole weekend.
I highly doubt
did
there's
he shoot
anybody.
A bottle rocket out of it?
I highly doubt there's anybody in the organization that's going to be like, call that guy and tell him to give the cup back.
But I was reading about what was going on with the Penguins, because it's a big free agency day and players are moving all over the place. And we lost four players that day to other teams. And I wanted to go break the news to the owner. I thought that'd be pretty cool. But I didn't have the balls to interrupt the Dalai Lama.
Did you
really think he doesn't have an inside line
I don't
on
think
that one?
No, because no one really knows.
He's like, what the fuck? Turn on ESPN now!
He knew that there was four guys that were unrestricted free agents that could go wherever they wanted, but I don't
and
think
he's like, that's it, I'm broke.
I told his son, because I met his son. His son's like late 20s, probably, really nice guy.
Urkel Merkel.
And John Burkle, and I said, hey, John, we just lost Chris Kunitz. He's like, oh, shit, I had no idea, really?
So, he's like, yeah, I don't really do the whole
hockey
thing.
I don't really care.
I'm
fuck my dad.
Well, he was wearing a Penguin championship hat as well as a shirt.
Maybe he works at the zoo.
It was great. It was so much fun. Thank you so much, Bob.
That is fantastic. That is a great
story.
What
a lucky, lucky thing that was.
Great thing.
That is nice.
Sometimes when I'm perusing the internet at late at night, I'll look at ridiculous stuff. And we've already discussed this, but I have no. First of all, I know my place in life to an extent. I know I'm never going to be like super wealthy.
I was talking with Bob about that. Like, I wouldn't want that level of wealth.
No, but
I
know
I
it's not
going to
happen. I can't go someday when I finally. It's just not going to be that. That's not for me. And I don't think I have the brain power to achieve it, like, financially. But I look at those houses, and I don't want them no matter what. If for some weird reason I were to win the lottery and have $500, $600 million, I don't like
the giant
there's
house.
Nothing about a $40 million house that appeals to me.
I
nothing.
Get stressed about this backyard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Like you know, I max out at, like, a $4 or $5 million house. Like, that's where I feel safe and comfortable. No, but I'm saying it's all location.
Yeah,
it's not the house.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice view, comfortable neighborhood. You can go for walks, and there's a giant gate around it.
So the entryway that we got into the house, we went through
the back door
with all the cars. And I bet that's not even all the cars.
Yeah, there's a lot of black people here.
He's a billionaire. So, and then we walked down these stairs, and then we walked through this long tunnel. It was like a tunnel, and it looked so 1920s. because it was refurbished to exactly how it was built. And it was this long tunnel to get to the backyard. We didn't go inside the house at all. God knows what that was like.
It's just a shithole with like jars of pee everywhere.
I'll go to the house.
Now, I was looking at a guy's house online that's for sale right now, and it's on the tippity top. It's in the Hollywood Hills, of course, probably in near his house, near Burkle's house. And it's for sale for $40 million. And I'm looking at this thing. No, I'm sorry. This house was in Rancho Santa Fe. It's on YouTube right now. And it's just everything about it is like, I'm like, I don't get this. I don't want to drive up that huge hill to get to my house. I don't need a sweeping panoramic swimming pool. And behind it are 10 of the world's most expensive cars in a glass room overlooking the hill, too. And it's got a bowling alley. That's all right. I could go for the bowling alley.
I have two people that work on this house. One is the gardener. Came with the rent, right? It's
yeah.
part of the rent. Yeah. I feel guilty every time I see him working in my backyard. Feel a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
Like I should go out there and help him. And I have a pool guy for my little baby pool that's behind you, Mike. And his name's Jose. I call him Joe. And he comes once a week. And I know all about Joe's life. I know that he's had a whole lot of liver issues recently. So he was wearing like a shunt in his arm a few weeks ago. And I literally said, stop cleaning my pool. You have to leave now, Joe. I don't want you in this condition working on my fucking pool. It's fine. Go.
All right. Thanks, man. I guess I'm going to go move those bricks for the other guy I work for.
Imagine.
Yeah, die on his property.
Just start wearing shunts all the time.
You go in your backyard and you have like 50 of those people. Like I.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that at all. Especially the. I don't like having people take care of things that in reality, depending on your view of life, are a joy, are fun. Like washing your car is kind of fun.
Speaking of. Oh, no. I was going somewhere completely different.
Oh.
I have this in my notes. I only have two things in my notes. That was not one of them we just talked about. But it occurred to me that I can't picture Mike Carano doing laundry.
I do laundry and I enjoy it.
Can you picture Mike doing laundry, like folding clothes?
I do fold everything. I put
folding.
Things away.
It's the folding. I can picture him like jamming things into a dryer.
Iron shirts. I don't do laundry how people who are into laundry do laundry, where they separate colors and stuff. I jam everything into the washing machine, throw some baking soda.
Tracking with that so far.
And about 10% of the detergent you're supposed to use in there.
What?
And that's it.
So I'm looking for pictures of Ron Burkle's driveway because I didn't get a picture of that, and I probably should have. And
Google Earth.
I come across this. Bob Hope's house that we were obsessed with up in Palm Springs. Yeah. He bought it.
Oh.
Burkle
bought it for $13 million.
That
what
seems
a steal.
Like a, that seems like 100% like a steal.
If I knew that, I'd just be like, Ron, why are you at this house right now? Why are you not at the, it's a Goldstein Sheets house, dude.
Yeah, sure is.
Oh, fucker.
And he's like, because it's 128 degrees out there.
Now I want it. I want the wealth.
This is your Gordon Gekko moment.
I wonder, you probably know the answer to this, but where are the most unique, cool places
Texas.
That people have brought the cup? Like, there has to be some dude who played in his hometown, who grew up loving hockey, and brought it to, like, the local bar.
Happens all the time.
That's what I mean.
Happened, like, last week.
It's got to be an insane thrill for people. Like, you're a bunch of dudes from Boston. You're all got your backwards baseball hats on.
Some Russian guy will win it and take
you're ready
space.
To throw down at any moment over nothing, and then some guy brings in the Stanley Cup.
I was reading all sorts
of
stories.
Win it. Did the Bruins ever win it?
Yeah, Bruins won it. They're original six. They won it a few times. Not as many as they should have because they're original six. They've been around since there was only six players. It's six teams in the whole
six
league.
Six players in the whole league. It was
six teams.
Not exciting.
And it was rules back
one
then.
One player
where, like,
per team.
You don't only like...
they just decided to change it to boxing after a while.
Like Boston couldn't get players from Canada. The players from like Montreal could only play for Montreal.
Because they were too nice?
No, because that was just stupid rules. So Montreal, that's why they dominated for all those years.
Come on down to Boston and play for you're not nice enough. I can't do an accent.
What?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I don't think I could come down and play ice hockey.
I don't think I'll
come. I'm doing it with the boys.
All right, gosh, shouldn't even try.
Oh, what are you talking about? Where?
And that's a great
Boston,
story. Going to Burkle's
Burkle
house.
Bought the house.
Did he have? Did he have like a million Ralph's bags laying around?
There's no Ralph's.
Okay.
Did you? You were like, I didn't really like paying 10 cents for my bags.
Yeah. Can I get some sort of a written note from you that I don't have to pay? And he's like, it's the law. And you're like, but aren't
so
you above
weird.
The law?
Well, this is I'm seeing a
you
picture.
You should have asked. I bet you could have got like a little, like a gold Ralph's loyalty card.
Seeing a picture of Bill Clinton,
personal friend of Burkle.
Bill Clinton at Ron Burkle's house right now, talking to him.
Was about, he at the party?
About
he was
what?
Not.
About
I
grocery prices?
God, I love that cup.
I can't tell
is
what
Is that
he's
the Dalai Lama over there? And you're like, I don't
I
fucking
like all
know.
Cups. B cups.
And he's like,
C
I like
cups.
C cups, D, D cups.
Dalai Lama knows what I'm talking about.
There's no nipples on this cup. I got no interest.
He likes those Dalai Mamas.
Yeah, I was reading
Dalai Mama. Oh, that's a good name for a porn actress. Dalai Mama.
There are some crazy things that have happened with
spiritual.
With the cup. As you can imagine, it was kicked into a canal in Ottawa repeatedly by a drunken team that won it one year, like in 1922.
Kicked into a what?
A canal,
and
they were
they
so hammered.
It out?
They were so they'd kick it into like the you know it's not that deep, and then
they
just
think
go.
They played
and
soccer or something.
They were having like bets on who could kick it furthest, and then they were so drunk they stumbled away and they forgot the cup. It just it was in the canal all night, and then they had to go back and get it. Another guy was like on his way to like a.
Did
a,
they get reprimanded for that?
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like that.
Why
would
you
be
still Burkle.
B-U-R-K-L-E. And then there was another guy
who
was like...
Did he invent the fake vagina hair from in the movies?
That's a Merkin.
Oh, okay.
Who was like driving to like
this guy more credit.
A banquet after they won the cup, and he got a flat tire, so he took the cup out of his old jalopy and put it on the side of the road while he got his spare tire, and then forgot it and drove all the way to the banquet. He's like, ah, fuck, it's still on the side of the road. And then there's a horrible story.
That guy, that guy's got a... Worst memory than I'll ever have.
There's a horrible story here that when it went to Claude Lemieux, then of the New Jersey Devils, won it, and he took it to the Howard Stern show, and there's stories. I'm still trying to figure out if it's real or not. I'd like to think that it was just a practical joke, but Jackie Martling, Jackie the Joke Man, evidently pooped in the cup, which is not cool. That's
I can't fathom anyone there not having this common sense to not let that happen. I mean, because you wouldn't let that happen if it was at Loveline.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. But I care about the cup. Obviously, they don't.
But I mean, I think a lot of people recognize the significance of it. And that's just there's no reason for that.
If you,
it's
if
not
you,
like this is Donald Trump's hat, and everyone's like, I'll
if you got to be
something
in
out
a
in
room
that.
Completely alone with the cup, just you and the cup, and you know that no one will ever find out what you did. Uh-huh. What would you do to it that you would go to your grave being like, I bet no one else will have done to the cup what I did.
I can speak for you in saying nothing bad.
Well,
I have no idea, but the one regret that I have
I just said that. I'll answer that for you.
I would love to have had Atticus with me and got a picture of him sitting in the cup. That would have been fucking
That's happened before. I'm saying you get one chance to do something to the cup.
I can't think
what
of
about,
anything.
What
it
about
doesn't have to be gross.
What if you could fill it with warm water and bathe Atticus in it? That would be kind of cool.
You like put it upside down and do like a yoga pose on top of it and be like, but no one's ever going to do that?
No one's ever done that?
If I were as big a fan as you, I would just want to put it in bed with me and go to sleep.
I would like to sleep with a cup. Wake up and there it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really cool. There's so many scuffs and scratches on it. And
did you think about leaving a little scratch? Like
it's not
little
like...
A?
No, I did not.
Little
think.
A?
It's not like it's laser engraved.
What's that gross stain inside of it? We don't talk about that.
It's like...
Jackie Martling pooped in it.
It's done the old-fashioned way where somebody just takes like the letter A and then they hammer it on. Yeah. So it's
okay,
like
what's
all a little
bit. What's the scoop with the fact that everyone was up in arms a few months ago saying that Bobby Orr or some huge person is about to be off the cup because they've run out of room?
Oh,
I saw that online.
Are people upset about that? That's stupid. Because every team gets their entire team and the owner's name and all that on it, there's bands. And like once every 10 years or so, they run out of room. So this year, the Penguins are going to be put in the last spot and then... the band from the top will be taken off and put on display in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and they will have a new band at the bottom for the new teams.
So
it's been going on for years.
Some very, very significant player.
Could very well be Bobby Orr, but you know it'll be on display.
Bobby.
But you can't
just
fit.
Just doing
like,
my impression of a guy back in the day.
But there's been 100
Bobby
teams.
Bobby Orr.
Oh, one of the little places on the cup is just blank, or there's no names. It just says a season not played because of the lockout.
A strike.
That's just sad. Yeah. I took a picture of
when's
that.
When's that off? When's that going in the Hall of Fame? Because I'd like to get rid of that one.
There's three cups that I saw.
Why
like,
do they want a negative reminder on there?
There's this one that I saw, which is the players, right? And then there's one that's a replica.
Players Club.
There's one
Club.
That's
a
replica. It's exact same, but it's a replica. And that's on display pretty much full-time at the Hockey Hall of Fame. And then they have the original first cup, which got retired like in the 60s. And that's in the Hockey Hall of Fame in a bank vault because it used to be a bank. The Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. It used to be
do
a bank.
Do people get to see it?
And they have, you can walk in there when it's open. And then, so they say, when they close at night, they actually lock the original cup up in a vault. But there's three cups. And if you talk to anyone that works for the Hockey Hall of Fame, they'll say there's only one cup. It's like that, it's like almost like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one.
It's all
I'm like,
one.
No, but there's, I said it's, because when I saw it,
when I was in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm like, I saw this on the news last night. It's like, it's in Boston right now. They're like, no, it's here. I'm like, yeah, but then there's obviously two of them. No, there's only one. I'm like, well, there's one in the vault right there, and there's this one.
Of all the places to rob,
it's odd.
The Hockey Hall of Fame would be the one I would be most afraid of the general public coming after me for stealing something
of
significance.
It's so cool. It's so fucking cool. Like, they got the old...
Hey, I stole the cup, man. I'd have, like, 40 guys from Boston. That's it. We quit our jobs. We're going to go find that fucker.
The old... What? They're, like, mentally challenged Teamsters?
I'm anti-Boston today for no reason whatsoever.
The old goalie masks alone are worth going to Hockey Hall of Fame. If you're ever in Toronto, it's worth
it. You think about the shit people steal, because I listened to somebody recount. You know, remember a couple years ago when Tom Petty got all their shit stolen from the rehearsal studio?
No. Nope.
Like 10 guitars, like the most important guitars. And like a dude from Norm's Rare Guitars, I heard him on a podcast talking about how they grabbed all the guitars that matched Tom Petty's guitars and drove them to the rehearsal. And they were about to take him on tour, and then somebody recovered all his shit. But you're like...
So it was like double guitar?
Like, you're just going to steal something, and you happen to steal something that has significance and is popular. That would be brutal as a criminal to find out you just robbed. You know what I mean?
Why would that be brutal?
I stole this weird machine, and everyone's like, that's Ray Charles' fucking blood monitor. Oh, Jesus Christ. you know what I'm saying? Like I broke into this room and stole this shit, and people are like, oh, God, that's...
You know, remember when you used to get drunk, Mike, and, like, you would just steal shit for the sake of stealing it?
No.
Really?
I didn't steal stuff.
I was at a concert, and I was walking out, and you know those, like, little, like, weird machines that they scan your tickets?
Yeah.
Like, one of those was sitting, like, on a counter next to the girl as I was stumbling out, hammered. I think it was Coachella, actually, or something like that. It was outside. And I remember I grabbed it. I'm like, this will be fun to fuck with later and check out an album. Maybe I can mix some fake tickets. And the girl chased after me, and she was very nice. I felt very bad. I'm like, can I please have that? I'm like, I'm sorry. She's like, it's okay.
That's so much better than the cops tackling you and beating you senseless with batons to get it back.
I'm sorry. I'm an adult in full capacity of all my faculties. And
I thought this would be good to throw in the trash in like 10 years when my wife tells me to get that stupid machine out of here.
It would probably still be in my office.
I'm
going to
be really into shit canning in about a decade.
Yeah.
Can I keep this for 10 years so I can shit can it?
Yeah, no, I've stolen stupid shit, silverware and stuff. Like, I'm taking this fork from Denny's.
That's not quite the same.
So I got a new car.
Yes.
And I didn't want to get a new car.
Nope.
It feels very weird timing to get a new car with me being in between jobs and, like, you know, chats with Andy and this show and the film ball that were keeping me afloat barely.
I was having a conversation with Dr. Drew about the job issue a couple nights ago. And he goes, but you never know. This stuff turns out to be a blessing in disguise. He goes, because Anderson's doing great.
Well, it's not that I'm hurting. It's not like I'm fucked. It's not like I'm, you know, avoiding like bank calls or anything like that yet. But you know, that is in the future if things don't change.
That's in my future too.
And I have not had a car payment for the last 5 years because I've been driving this car for close to 10 years now, and I bought it used.
It's great.
It's a 2003 car. And did I tell you guys that I almost killed Atticus a couple weeks ago?
That might be a different story.
I think you told me. I think you said you couldn't bring it up on the show. But now I guess you're bringing it up on the show.
I bought a new car. And did I say I punched a woman? I bought a new car.
So my AC in the car doesn't work that well, right? Yeah. In my old car. And I knew it was going to be an issue because it's going to be 107 here tomorrow in the valley. So what I've been doing is, because we go out and we have to run errands, we do stuff.
You know, we did the blow dryer with the ice. We've established this.
So I turn the car on. I let it run for 10 minutes. And the AC actually, it does fill the car, but it doesn't come out of the vents anymore. It just comes out of like the cracks.
Yeah.
So it gets good.
As God intended it.
So we're driving over to the gym. It was last time we had a heat wave a couple weeks ago. It was like 107, 108. And I have him in a long story, but Jillian took the car seat, so I had to use this different car seat that was behind my seat, so I couldn't even see him. And it was super hot, and I was looking for shade in the parking lot. No shade, so I was doing circles.
And someone's like, you suck, and you're like, and I hear the boy, I was looking for shade.
I hear the boy grunting, kind of like, and I'm like, Atticus, you all right, buddy? You're right? And there's just nothing, and I can't see him. So I pull into the only spot there was, which is in the blazing sun, about 100 yards away from the gym. And I open the back door, and he's slumped a little bit, like slouched. His face is bright red.
Oh, no.
Hair is all wet.
That's sad.
And I take his car seat out. I'm like, Atticus! And he's not responding to me.
Did you blow on him?
He's not responding. And now he's like in the direct sunlight. And I'm just
now
looking,
you'll never be in the Stanley Cup.
I'm looking in the at the gym, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I was like in no man's land. I'm like, what do I do? I can't put him back. So I take him out of the car seat, and he's still not really opening his eyes or anything.
And you got and him into the sauna really fast.
I didn't run. I'm not sure why I didn't run, but I did that, you know, the fast walk thing.
Like you had a poop in your butt.
Kind of like that, and holding Atticus.
Say it.
Not responsive.
Say it.
And I get inside.
Like you had a.
No, don't say it.
I'm not saying that.
Don't say it.
I was walking like they do, like they have the fast walk. Isn't that an Olympic event?
God, I hope not. It's embarrassing.
Speed walking, yes.
In the embarrassing Olympic events, today we have the speed walk.
So on the black, full sun, on the concrete, it's probably about 118, right? Yeah. Mm. And I get in the front door. Nice. Of the air conditioning.
It's a dry 118.
Of the gym. It's like 68 degrees in there, right? Like a smack in the face. And I take him in the daycare center, and they're like, oh, Atticus, because they all know him and they love him. I'm like, I don't know if he's alive. I didn't think he was dead, but I thought that, you know, maybe there's a thing like heat stroke or something. And he kind of starts opening his eyes, and giant smile comes over his face, and it's like nothing ever happened.
And
to
he
him.
Looks at you, fooled you, motherfucker.
But then I'm like, how do I get him home right now? So at that moment, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I have to get a new car.
I got to buy an ice cooler. I got to fill it with ice and put my baby in it.
I can't really afford one right now, but and it's like it's a commitment. You know, you just did one.
It's horrible. Horrible.
So I did a bunch of math, and it turns out insurance is less on the new car than the old car because of the safety equipment and whatnot. And I got a.
It says here your air conditioning comes out of the vent on the new cars. That's better.
Should we get Mike's live reaction to seeing?
Yeah, it's a lot of work to get over there.
Why? Just pick up the cords.
I could just start it from here.
Ooh.
Start it. Now, just tell me what you got.
So it's a 3-year lease.
But first thing I want to hear about
10,000 miles, which is concerning me. And I'm such a stressor. I'm already doing the math constantly.
That scared the shit out of me. That scared the shit out of me.
Tyler just moved Mike's chair with his
I felt
foot.
The chair move, and I did not know where it was coming from.
So I was looking at a bunch of different kinds of cars.
Yeah. Started with Bentleys.
The one that I kept going back to that's just so much fun to drive, and I just feel right in it. It's an American-made car. America!
Yeah.
Even though it's assembled in Canada.
Ew.
They make it in Canada.
Oh, God.
The Volkswagens I was looking at, they make those down in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The Kias they make here. It's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I took off the door panel. There's a taquito in here. Somebody dropped a taquito in
like
my door panel.
They're eating those when they're making the Farfik Nugans.
Racist.
But no, I got a Dodge Charger.
Really?
Very nice car.
Are you kidding me?
Feels safe.
Wow.
Feels solid.
Yeah.
Feels good.
10,000 miles a year, though.
I was doing the math, like what I've been doing on my car, and it's
the other
way
car.
Under.
The other car that Jillian's driving, you bought that, right?
Yeah, we're buying that one.
Okay,
that's,
so you can take that on road
Kia.
Trips and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the new car, the main thing is the dash has like the CarPlay, and so you know I got a bunch of my apps up there, and I got the satellite radio.
You didn't
that
go
it comes
with the Hellcat, I'm guessing.
Did not go with the Hellcat because that's $56,000.
No, it's more than that. It's like 80.
No, it's not. I did a bunch of research.
Really?
Yeah,
are you sure? Because
the
Challenger Hellcat, it's like 71 or something.
They lease them now, dude, and they're like $56,000-$60,000. Oh, I didn't even tell.
You don't think Atticus needs 700 horsepower?
I love the boys. Is he still asleep?
And still about 9 miles to the gallon.
Temperature too high, 88 degrees.
New car. What color did you get?
So that's the thing. I was a pussy, and I didn't get my dream car, which was available. Because if I could have any car, it would probably be something like I like the Challenger more, but not with the kid.
Because you got four doors.
The Challenger is two doors, right? And it just looks a little cooler. It's the same car, but it looks
sharper, a little sharper,
yeah. A little more muscly, I guess. I've always loved the look of those cars. This one's like a happy medium because it's got the four doors and gas mileage isn't going to kill me, especially because I don't drive much.
It's 3 miles a gallon. It's great.
They got this color called Go Green.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this.
And it's
like
lime.
The neon green?
No, it's like lime neon almost.
I do not see you in that car.
I love the look of that car. I love the idea of walking up to that car in a parking lot. I love the idea of like walking away and turning over my shoulder and saying, that's my car right there. I hate the idea of driving around town and people saying, there's that guy in the green car. So I pussed out.
Green like his snake tattoo.
It's like a Skittle.
It is like
a Skittle. But that's a Dodge color.
It's Go Green.
Yeah, it's like Kudos were painted that color back in the day.
Kudos?
And stuff. Kudos? Cuda. Barracuda.
Oh. It was a great looking car. I just couldn't be that guy.
New car,
I think a
wow.
lot of people that would want that color maybe do want people looking at it.
But you got a good price on the lease and everything?
Yeah, I got a really good price. And
good.
Yeah, it's funny. The guy that sold me the car, old-timey guy, and he was helping a Mexican family
buddy.
Right before he started helping me. And I had that one of those weird interactions where he wanted to talk shit about the Mexican family he was just talking
to.
Oh. Did he make a joke about taquitos being in the door?
He's like, get your best deals from racists.
He's like, she's got 3 kids. They're all under 8. I don't know if you noticed that she's pregnant. And you got to imagine that her daughter, she's probably going to be having a kid soon. I'm like, okay, so tell me about this car over here. Tell me about this car.
Sir, I'm not trying to bond over your weird hatred of brown people while I buy this, while I lease a car from you.
We have a listener by who we've spoken of before because he sent me some pretty goddamn amazing gifts. Clint Lee. He made the whip for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me. He bought a Hellcat recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does he whip?
I would love to have a Hellcat.
No shit. Yeah. No shit. I watch videos of owners of Hellcats on TV, and on YouTube, and there's one guy who does, like, super, a lot of profanity. He's a black guy, and he's like, 10 things I hate about my Hellcat, and he goes, first of all, this is the intro to the 10 things I hate about my Hellcat, 5 things I hate about my Hellcat. There's nothing about this car I hate. And he goes, except, I'm like, yeah, bad title right there. One thing, the gas mileage. I had no idea it was going to be so bad. No idea I'm going to be at a gas station every other day, no matter what. The gas mileage. He goes, I get 8 miles a gallon in this car. He goes, 8 miles a gallon? On the freeway, I'm getting 11 miles a gallon. He's like, it's unbelievably bad. And he just goes on and on and on.
He can afford the Hellcat. Who cares, though?
Well, I think he's a car guy that just wanted the car. Like, some people are obsessed. Like, I could be that guy. There's a car that I really want, and I'm going to sacrifice everything else to get it, but I'm not in a place to be. I have too many other bills.
I wasn't even entertaining the idea of getting this car because the gas mileage, and then I did research, way better gas mileage than my last car, and I'm not going to own it because that's the thing. You don't know where gas prices are going to go, so it could be like $10 a gallon next year. I'll be fucked, but at least it's a lease. I'm not going
to
own a lease.
Yeah, you're going to, you know, I can't do, I would love to lease cars because I'd love to get a new car every 2 or 3 years, but I can't.
I know. I thought of that. And, like, you know, something,
I mean,
changes.
If they had a lease where you got 50,000 miles a year, I'd barely make it.
My
in-laws have been leasing cars for, I mean, I've been with Lauren for 15 years, and I feel like they've had a new car every, at least a new car every 3 years.
Yeah.
Two cars. I'm just like, oh.
One of the guys that was selling me cars, he didn't get into the details, but he said that lease programs were initially created, I think back in the 80s, for people who drove a lot, and then they switched it all around. But it was for people who drove a ton, and they wanted to be able to turn in cars once they were racking up the miles and get something new. But then the lease programs and the dealerships realized.
What color did you get?
White.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a good color.
I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, what color's the interior?
Black. That's not so great.
That's my favorite color combo. That's what I have. But
well, I just want it because it's so hot.
Sometimes I get it.
I wanted a white intro.
Yeah, all right. Okay. 122 in Death Valley. I'm like, yeah, I really feel it.
The timing
Feel it.
The timing just feels really weird. Not
having,
But I'm on my wife's insurance now, starting like a couple days ago, and it feels like a good, safe car for the boys. So
nice. Nice
Plus
job.
You can do jumps and stuff with it.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Yeah, I can do jumps.
Burnout. He likes it.
The boy's awake, but he's not crying, so that's good.
Charger. Charger. Donuts. New car, man. New car fever running around these parts.
Yeah, well, it's funny because you got the family car.
How come I didn't see it?
It's in the garage.
That's a family car. You got 4 doors.
Yeah, it's
good enough to get the kid in and out.
Yeah.
People that buy 2 doors and have a kid and think, yeah, I can fit the car seat in the back. Always. Always. I've had several friends regret it. Like, it's no one's. They're like, I hate having to put the seat up to get my baby out of the back seat.
I didn't even look at 2-door cars. I thought about, you know what, because I got it like the day before we did our last show. I just, it didn't come up.
Wow.
There was a lot of shit going on.
And you were driving it?
Yeah, I drove it.
I was very confused because I walked to his car to drop something off, and I was like, where's your car? And he's like, it's right here. And I was like, oh, where's your car?
Wow.
And then he went, chick, chick. And I was like, what?
I should have walked you
this
guys
car,
to your car.
This car fits me more than any car I've ever had before because I always go with like family style sedans.
Yeah, it's very American.
But this just feels like more like me than any other car that I've had before. But
did you put a big old Trump sticker on the back?
Big Trump sticker, yeah.
Good move. Good move.
I've thought of that story that you told about your Subaru and a certain little lady getting out of it and dinging the door after you got it. I've thought of that a number of times and thought how that would upset me right now.
I still think about that every now and then. I think about 2 hours later when we were at the Madonna Inn. And she's like, what's wrong with you? And I went, nothing. She goes, are you still mad about the door? And I went, kind of. And she just goes, get over it. I was like, it's not your car. I'll ding your new Outback when you buy one. She is she's buying the exact same car.
The manliest sentence.
Is she really?
Yep.
The manliest exact sentence that has ever been said. I will date your new Outback when you get one.
Well, I talked her out of buying a $50,000 Audi, which she had her heart set on, even though she can afford it.
Those are Nissans. I didn't know that.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
They're made by Nissan.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yes, they are.
Incorrect.
Nissan makes Audis.
No, they don't at all. There's no affiliation whatsoever. Zero.
Who makes Kia dashboards?
I don't know.
Nissan.
Yeah, they don't make Audi. Guarantee it.
Yeah,
they're owned by Volkswagen Group. They don't make.
Oh,
Nissan
yeah, I knew that. I knew that.
Nissan does not make any parts
on an
Audi.
Wait a minute. Somebody told a dealer told
no,
me that.
No, no. BMW
and
Toyota.
I had a Volkswagen Fox for years, and I had the little Audi on the window.
BMW and Audi Toyota logo. Are making a car together, just like Subaru and Toyota made the BRZ, but Nissan does not make any parts for an
Audi.
They're
bringing back the Brat.
Oh, the Brat was the best.
The
most unsafe seats in the world.
What's a Brat?
It was a miniature Subaru truck with two seats in the back with no seat belts, but they had handles to hold on to. There were seats that faced the back.
They're insane.
And people rode around on the freeway in those things back in the day before they were made illegal.
So tight.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
It was so great.
They're illegal now.
Oh, totally illegal. You're not allowed to ride the back of a
if
truck.
If you own one of those.
You can in Arizona.
But there's no seat belts on those seats. They had handles like this, and you held on.
What do we do right now? Because the boy's awake. Do I
bring him on the show?
We haven't broke the hour, Mike.
We haven't?
No.
Bring him on the
show. Hey, Tyler, come on now.
We talked about RNA and DNA for 20 minutes.
Well, okay, you guys,
Tyler
be quiet in 3, 2, 1.
No.
Hey, this is Mike Carano. I'm wrapping up the After Disaster with an extra 35 minutes of bonus material. I'm alone here. Sounds like the baby's in the background, and those other guys are still here, but they're not. They're gone. Wrapped up. They're on the road. Anderson's breastfeeding the baby. No, not breastfeeding the baby.
He sounds a little bit like Frank's neighbor on F is for Family.
What is Absence
a little
of
bit.
Family?
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
You guys been watching Glow?
Yes.
No.
I was just trying to sell Anderson. And he's like, that's sad.
I'd like the listener to know that Tyler and I spent a good 20 minutes before Mike got here talking about Patreon and what to do about it and how to make things more worthwhile and how to spark it and things to do with the Patreon. So I think...
Fucking sparking it, brah.
First of all, just to remind everyone, if you are a Patreon subscriber, you get this 24 hours in advance. We should be more upfront with that. And also, we are going to be making some changes and also fulfilling all the things that we still owe over the next few weeks and coming up with a new live show very soon. All that and more.
Here's what I have to say about Glow is...
all right.
I know Marin, and I think his podcast is fantastic. But I would have never expected myself to say what I'm about to say. But he is amazing on that show.
He's great.
And I can't, like, I've never heard him talk about himself on the show, but he talks about the chicks on the show all the time, about how great they are. And I think he is the best part of the show. Like, well, I can't wait till he's on screen
Tyler
again.
Was telling me before he got here, because he was talking about Glow, and he was saying that he's kind of like my Carano type character.
Yeah. It's true.
Is that a bad thing? I've never seen the show.
I don't know. I think the show's great. I don't think the show's great. I think the show is very good, but I think Marin is the best part of it.
Is it realistic 80s?
I think so, yeah.
It's what you want the 80s to have been. It's like in your mind's eye.
But he's just a great character, and there's no... I don't see any cracks in the acting game on that one for him.
I think all the characters are interesting. Like, even the rich playboy guy,
I don't know who that is. I'm only two episodes in.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I like that you're talking about how he's the best part of the show. You've seen two episodes.
Yeah. Yep.
Coming in hot.
Judging things without... Judging a book by its cover, Mike Carano.
I watched that Tony Robbins thing.
And?
Flickfested on the Film Vault. I actually assigned it to Brian so we could both talk about it this week.
What'd you think?
It was 90 minutes of isn't he the best? Don't you want to sign up? And it made me feel bad for humanity, and I feel sorry for people that actually believe that shit. I don't think he's accredited in any way, and it's ridiculous.
And
there's no...
After giving it a couple of weeks.
No confrontation.
Yeah, after giving it a couple of weeks, I agree with you completely.
How inspired are you?
At the
time, not at all.
At the time.
Not even a little bit.
It wasn't, I wasn't saying I was amazed by the how inspired
I
was.
People. They're so lost. Looking for
no,
answers.
But I was amazed by the, take out your phone right now. And he makes her break up with her boyfriend and then just, you know,
epilogue.
Who hurt you?
You watch the epilogue and she got back together with that guy.
Oh, yeah?
I
didn't watch. I didn't get that far.
All for Plane.
It was the same guy, one of the co-director of Paradise Lost trilogy, which is phenomenal. about the West Memphis 3.
There's no doubt. I can't believe after finishing it, I was like, that's a 2-hour ad for Tony Robbins.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours. It's not even 90 minutes.
There's no negativity in there.
None. And it would have been a very compelling documentary, I think, if they talked about all the people that feel duped by him or like lost family members who really needed professional
help.
There
have to be thousands
of
those
suicides and
all. Hey, how about this one? Okay.
You should watch the...
We're not morally... we are pretty good people, but put yourself in his shoes. How many of those girls would you have fucked? Like all of them,
Michael. This is unique to you. I think I don't.
No,
think
no,
I've
no,
that
no,
once.
Mankind. Okay, that first girl who's like 19 or 20 who's there with her mom.
She's a pain in the ass.
I would have immediately been like, I need to have a one-on-one with you in my room tonight.
Oh, Michael. No,
I'm saying if I was him,
the poor girl, the Brazilian who was slave,
so beautiful.
Yeah, you would have said, "What we need to do is reenact your days in the cult."
Yeah,
before we can get
this
anywhere.
Is how we're going to get it out.
You should watch Betting Zero on Netflix.
What is that?
Or Betting on Zero?
What is it?
It's about Herbalife.
Oh, really?
The scam that Herbalife is.
Yeah,
and there's a.
I'm going to watch it before I send this podcast.
This Wall Street guy, I can't remember his name. His company has done like $1 billion a short on it because he thinks that Herbalife is a giant scam, and one of these days the stock is gonna crash, and then he'll make a shit ton of money.
What is $1 billion short?
So it's very confusing to explain a short, but it's basically like you say.
I thought you meant a
like,
short film.
That's what I thought too. I was like, this is the world's most expensive short film.
Oh, okay, yeah, I get it. Okay. I've seen.
So he's doing $1 billion short.
What was it called?
On Herbalife.
That's when you bet against it, right?
Yeah.
Like you take money.
You buy the stocks at a certain price and you basically rent them, and then you can like keep them, and at some point you have to like buy those back at what you.
That's what that movie was all about. The big short. The big short.
Yeah. It's so confusing.
Yeah, it's
all
about
that stuff.
But it's not that confusing. It really isn't if you look into it a little bit.
Well, if you're totally disinterested and you don't even want to look into it, it's confusing.
What's it called?
It's called Betting on Zero.
Betting on Zero. Yeah. We will watch that and discuss it next week.
Yeah.
How about that? All right, should we wrap it up? Because I feel like the boy's over it.
Sounds like homework. Yes, wrap it up.
Come take a look at my health.
Thank you guys for listening. God bless you.
I mean, I could probably make it look like a. I could make my car look
just
like
came
a Hellcat.
Out. Just came out. You could. You can get those little
from
Hellcat,
the outside
things.
How yep. cheesy would
all
that
you
be?
Need
remember
are the
those
two cats.
Kit cars?
All you need are the two cats.
Remember the kit cars?
Yeah.
Sure ridiculous.
They still make kit cars nowadays, but they're not.
Like you get a Fiero, and then you can make a car look like a Ferrari, plastic
yeah.
Ferrari.
Yeah, like a slow piece of shit, like even less reliable.
Well, I thought they were pretty cool when I was a kid, but then I realized like if I bumped like a parking block,
yeah.
it would just crumble.
Yeah. The new kit cars are very, very expensive kit cars that meticulously replicate like a Porsche 356 or.
Oh, that'd be kind
of
cool.
Yeah, they're hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, that's not cool. Why don't you just buy one?
Well, because then you're looking at like $300,000.
Well, you just said hundreds of thousands, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
If I ever fuck off money, I want to get one of those little Suzuki Samurais and just like jack.
The ones that roll?
Yeah. Just jack it up.
Put tires on the top of it?
Samurais seem like they would be fun to have. Just like a miniature Jeep.
Yeah.
Made by
they're
a
like,
motorcycle
they're power
company.
Wheels for adults.
Yeah.
Home.
Home on the range where the
home.